podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome along. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster with me, your host, My Mate's Got a Hoster. Sorry, Tom Price. And I am thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant writer, performer, digital creator, and best-selling author, Tova Lee. Hello, Tova Lee. How are you?
Hello. I'm really well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm absolutely thrilled to have you here because I do love a digital creator. That just means you've got shed loads of followers and you video your life all the time. Is that right?
Oh, God. I try not to all the time, but I do video my life quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I have more than four followers.
More than four?
Yes, more than four followers.
What is that like? I can't imagine.
The pressure. Yeah.
Do you feel that? Do you wake up and you're like, my followers need my blood?
Every day. No, I don't actually. I mean, to be honest, I'm a content creator on social media who really hates social media. And we recently decided to start doing like Big Brother house in my house. We're sort of documenting it through like Big Brother style. And I feel like I can get behind that a little bit more because it's scripted. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Hang on. You have turned your real life into a scripted documentary.
Literally. And I feel better doing that because I don't really like the whole like, hi, I just got up. I drank a cup of coffee. Now I'm going to the toilet. Like I'm not interested. So
that would be a good Instagram account if it was just people doing vids of their poos. Couldn't it?
Absolutely.
I'd watch that. Okay, fine. All right, so throughout the show today, I probably will be asking you for some good social media advice because I'm crap at it.
Okay.
So
expect I'm sure
that.
You're not, but okay.
In the meantime, we're going to crack on. We're going to dive into your Amazon account. We're going right back into the mists of time. We're going back to 2013, Tova Lee. 2013. Do you remember 2013?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, the evidence is that you were alive and well in 2013 because you were buying things. Oh, Christmas is when it starts. 10th of December, you go on a Christmas shopping rampage and you buy, and I'll give you all three things. And these are the only things you buy in 2013.
Okay.
Right? You buy Cinderella picture back books. You buy a Ruby Cinderella dress. And you buy this thing, a Polar Gear 500ml lunch pod.
Wow.
Which looks like it's a lunchbox, but they've called it a pod in a kind of rebrand, a cynical rebranding gesture.
What is that? I don't even remember what that was. What is that?
It's literally a bit of Tupperware with a handle.
But it's
clever, isn't it? Polar Gear lunch pod. It's like I'm gonna sit in the eagle's nest of Everest.
Wow.
Eating my couscous. But you bought that in 2013. So over to you to explain all of your purchases, please. What's going on there? Thank you.
Wait, was that just around Christmas time? What date? Can you see the date?
Charging into Christmas here. 10th of December, 2013.
You see, this really does sum me up because I normally wait till the absolute last minute to buy and do all my Christmas shopping.
Yep.
Usually I'm the one hysterical in sort of, you know, John Lewis or whatever, when there's nothing left on the shelf, just buying whatever's left.
Yes.
Kind of a day before Christmas Eve. I mean, thankfully it's 2013, so definitely had kids by that point. So the Cinderella.
How many kids, please? What was the kids thing going on?
So three. Wait, let me think. December. Oh. So maybe I can't work out them. So either one or three by that point.
It's a very difficult question. Either one or three. Are you serious?
Yeah,
I can't remember if it's one or three. I was expecting to say might be two or three. Not, it's somewhere between one and three.
Because I had twins. Wait, okay, let's work this out. I had twins in June 2013.
Okay.
So, yes, I already had them. Yes.
I'm amazed you weren't with twins, especially. So you've got 0 year old twins at this point.
Yes, exactly. So you
I'm amazed.
I feel like you can't blame me for anything, right? At this point. This is,
it's
probably
absolutely.
My lowest time of my life was around this Christmas.
Should have been buying. Yeah, exactly. At this point, when you're, God help you, 6, 7, 8 months in or whatever.
Exactly.
So you had twins, and how old was the pre existing condition? Sorry, child.
She was two. Yes. Story goes, we had three children literally in the space of 2 years.
Oh my God.
The end. And that's it.
Yeah.
at yeah. the end. Yes.
And was what was that like, that moment when you had the scan for twins and they found two heartbeats?
Wow. I mean, I laughed hysterically, and then I looked over and I saw my husband Mike sort of mumbling, and I couldn't work out what he was saying. And then I realized what he was saying was, oh my God, I need to find a second job. yeah, that was his genuine reaction, was I have to find more work. We were shocked, but to be honest, we're also slightly stupid because we were doing IUI, which is a form of fertility treatment. Mm. So really, there was a very good chance of us having twins. But I don't know if you know this, I wasn't actually born in the UK. My first language is Hebrew. So when I went in to do the procedure, they told me I had two very good follicles and would I like to continue? And I had no idea what follicles meant. So we ended up with twins, but obviously we love them. And it all worked out. So
okay, yes. Okay, wow. All right, okay. In which case, I'm amazed. I'm impressed that you're not buying more stuff on Amazon during this Christmas. Because in my experience of having kids, I just do everything for this. When Christmas comes, I just hit Amazon hard.
Yeah, but do you know what? I got to be honest with you. It's Mike that normally does the Christmas shopping. He loves it. Like, he buys, you know, months in advance. He's super organized. He has lists. I just panic buy last minute, just a few shitty things, and then he does everything else.
This is fascinating. Yeah. This is an unusual, I've got to be honest, a bit of a gender reversal here, which is refreshing.
Yeah, I do. I'm the one that does the wrapping, though, only because I'm, you know, I'm quite anal and I like things to be done in a certain way, but I don't care about the, like, he does the Christmas gifts, yeah.
Why do we get so upset? I'm like that with wrapping.
Yes.
I want it to look as nice as possible, and then I hand it to a child to destroy. It's like making a birthday cake for a kid. You're making this thing and all the effort, and they just literally jam their faces into it. What was the point in that?
I know. And usually they play with the wrapping or the box after you give them the gift that you were, you know,
classic.
So excited to get. Then one year, a couple of years ago, I sort of decided, why are we actually wrapping these gifts? It's so stupid. Exactly what you said. So I said, no, this year we will not wrap gifts. We'll just put them in bags. It was such a sad Christmas.
Mike, so amazing, isn't it?
Mike was devastated. It really did ruin it. It ruined everything.
It's like Christmas without wrapping is like an Eminem album without wrapping. It's just, you can't do it.
No.
You can't do it.
It's really bad.
It's fascinating. It's a fascinating. Good, I like this. We've come to a revelation very early on, Tova. Christmas has to have wrapping. Okay, good. All right, fine. So a couple of bits and bobs at the end of 2013. Let's crash on to 2014. Nothing in 2014, Tova. Presumably Mike's buying everything at this point.
I guess so. I don't have another secret account, just so you know. This is my main account. I'm wondering about that. Yes. Okay.
I was wondering about that. And then 2015.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, this is fantastic.
Go on then. Oh God, what is it?
August 2015.
Okay.
Maybe you were you at the Edinburgh Festival at this point, August 2015, or were you in real life at this point?
Wait, August 2015. Oh, my brain has gone to mush. Maybe I did go to Edinburgh Festival at some point, so maybe it was 2015. Wait, tell me why. What happened?
You spent £21 on the Mega Sonic Cat Repeller.
What? What?
The Megasonic Cat Repeller. So far we've discovered you're a woman who doesn't really like your kids because you don't bother buying them presents, and you also fucking hate cats. So this is one of those things you put in the garden that has a very high pitch on it, and it puts out a noise and it keeps cats away from your garden.
Does it also keep away foxes? Okay, so that's why we got it. Yes.
Okay.
That is why we got it. We had a family of foxes living underneath our decking at some point.
Oh.
Yes, and they actually had some babies there.
Oh.
I know. And for a long time, we could not go out to our garden for that reason.
No.
Yes. So when they finally left, I feel like that's potentially why we bought that, maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes. That makes sense to keep them. So you waited until they'd grown a bit before you planted the cat repeller.
Yeah, because the pups, are they called pups? The cubs?
I like cubs. I think cubs is a nicer word, but they probably are called pups.
Yeah.
Fox pups. Let's go for cubs.
We had to wait for them to be able to leave the garden, basically, you know. So it was a few. I think it was like 2 or 3 months that we just couldn't go outside. Because, again, the kids were still really small. And I was scared, you know. So you see, I do like my kids. I do like my kids, Tom.
finally. Thank God. I won't be calling the authorities just yet.
Thank you.
I love that. I love it when people rearrange their lives because of animals in that way. Because I know a lot of people who would say, well, fuck them. I need to go into my garden. But you and I, we would do the same thing. At the moment, we've got two enormous garden spiders, and they're using our clothesline, Tova, for webs. And Beth, my wife, she won't take the webs away or get rid of the spiders. And so she's not using the clothesline. But I think that's similar to you not going in the garden. I like it. I like doing that.
Okay, I'm going to come clean here. I don't know if I would feel the same about a spider. I don't want to come across as nicer than I actually am. So I feel like foxes, okay. Spider, not so sure.
You would squash the spiders. I think you're right.
Your wife sounds really lovely. Yeah.
Lovely, or just far too much time on her hands. Far too much time trying not to, you know, step on any animals as she walks along. Leave all the insects in peace. Because you know about fox hunting, right? When did you come to this country? When did you come to the UK?
I came here, I think it was 2006. And actually, yeah, you're right. Foxes are just so odd to me, you know, that you have foxes at all, in fact, but also just like in your neighborhood. Sometimes I go for a walk and foxes just walk across the road and, you know, they're also so not as scared of you. They just stand there and look at you, you know, like. So what? I grew up in Israel. In Israel, we had street cats, and it's not as exotic, you know. It's just
Hang on. So there are no foxes in Israel?
Not that I know of.
The facts that are dropping into the podcast today. Yeah. So foxes under the decking. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Not using the garden because of that. The kids at this point. So 2015, we've got twins. We've got three kids, right?
And yes.
Gosh. So the twins must have been like two at this point.
Yes. And my eldest exactly was four. So still quite little, and didn't want them to go out in the garden just in case mommy or daddy fox felt threatened.
They make a good noise, foxes, as well. Do you know how to do?
They shout, don't they, at night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, when they're at it.
Oh, is that why they shout?
Mm.
Is it really?
It's sort of basically you curl your hands into a fist, and then you blow into your index finger, into the hole made by your index finger, and it's sort of like that.
It's strange. It's a very strange sound.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's a really odd noise, but I really like foxes. All right, fine. I've got to move on from foxes. Okay, fine. So then let's crash on through now. To 2017 is when you make your next orders.
God, I'm very... but I feel like I get better. I shop much more on Amazon these days, by the way. Much more.
Well, I like it because what I often do on this podcast is I spend too long early on. And then by the time I get to current Amazon purchasing, I don't have enough time left. So this is quite good for me. This is a good rhythm to do it in. So 2017. So by this point, you've lived in this country for, 11 years?
Yeah.
What was it that made you leave Israel and come over here then? Was it because you wanted to work in comedy over here, or what was going on, please?
No, I don't know if you know this either, but in Israel, actually, I had a completely different career. I was an attorney and I worked, and I worked in a law firm, and I was 30 and I was going through a separation, a divorce, and I decided I really needed like a fresh start. And I always loved acting and storytelling and writing, and it just wasn't something I pursued at all. And I thought, you know what, I'm 30, it's now or never. I'm just gonna give it a go, see what happens. And the plan was just to come here for a year and do a course. I did an MA in performing arts at Mount View in London. And the plan was to just go back to Israel after that. But such a cliche, I met Mike. decided to stay.
I don't know if meeting Mike is the cliche.
Meeting someone, Mike.
Yeah.
A Mike.
Everyone meets Mike, and just everyone who stayed in another country is because of Mike.
Exactly.
So you met Mike, and what did your family say? I'm always fascinated by people who've done that, because I always think, oh, I should have gone to America. I really should have gone to New York, and I just couldn't really be asked at the time. And I always wonder what my family would have said if I'd gone. Probably nothing. Probably relief would have been etched on their faces. How about you?
Well, I mean, sorry, there's loads of cliches in my story, but you know, good. Coming from a Jewish family, as you can imagine, my father was not impressed when I told him I was giving up my career in law to become an actress. And then, you know, a year later, I told him I met an agent, because Mike is a comedy agent. So it was like, yes. Oh my God, my daughter's become an actress. Now she's met an agent, you know, and it didn't go down very well. But my mom, obviously he came around and all that, but my mom was actually, I think, very supportive, because she is originally from Ireland and actually lived in Exeter for many years and then met
beautiful part of the world.
Yes.
Beautiful part of the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then met my father in Exeter when he was studying in England from Israel and then moved to Israel and started a life there. So it was almost like a reverse type of story, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes. So you have history with Exeter. Do you ever go down to that part of the world? Beautiful part of the world.
It is very beautiful. We used to go every summer, actually. We used to visit my cousins and my family, both in Ireland and in England and Devon. But I haven't been for years. But this summer, I actually got to go. We went to Devon and we met up with my mom's sister and her husband. It was very nice. Really, really nice. Beautiful, beautiful.
Do you feel a bit like, because family, you know, like certainly post-pandemic, a lot of my family interactions have now moved on to Zoom. In the same way that working from home is a thing, sort of being familying from home, I don't feel the need to actually visit them physically as much now. I think social media and video calls has kind of got this. And do you see your parents a lot on FaceTime and stuff?
Not really.
Okay. I gave you such an opportunity that I handed you a platter.
But I'm not going to lie to you, Tom. I'm
no,
not going to lie.
I appreciate that.
I mean, listen, I love my family, but I also love the fact that, I live here, they live there. And it's good. It's good. I go to Israel once a year. It's actually now I'm really homesick because we haven't been in, you know, nearly two years. I haven't seen my parents now in 2 years. Oof. Because of the pandemic. So I am getting homesick, and more so just, we always go for Passover, and it's such a nice time for my kids to see their cousins and to see their grandparents, and all of that I really do miss.
Right.
But I like the distance as well, you know? So in a normal world, when it's once a year, it's perfect. But pandemic-wise, it's been difficult.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure it'll go back to normal eventually. How many times am I saying?
I hope so.
Keep saying that at the moment. It'll get normal again, guys. All right, good. So 2017, a happy Tovely, living over in the UK now, and look, signs of aging, okay? Signs that you are getting old.
No, I can't believe it. This is so... Okay, tell me what.
The professional Sineas kneeling ergonomic chair without back. So one of those chairs you... you sit on and your ass slowly slides forward and your knees push onto that sort of platform. Yeah. And it's, you're told it's ergonomically good, but basically you end up in this awful slouch sitting on it.
Yes.
Them.
I don't want to be mean towards someone who invented this and really wanted to make something great, but it didn't work for me.
No.
Just put it that way. It did not work for me. You're right. I they say in the ad, like, you just won't be able to slouch or to sit any other way, you know, but you can.
Yes.
It's doable.
Yes. You end up slouching. I bring a certain level of artistry to slouching. I love a slouch.
I actually think you slouch more than Cher because it's uncomfortable. So like you find yourself slouching more. Also, I built you. It doesn't come like assembled. You have to assemble it yourself. And clearly I didn't do it right because, you know, it just kept falling apart anyway. It didn't last for long, but I'm sure it has helped a lot of people.
Well,
just didn't really
There's
help
a lot
me.
Of reviews, actually. We could go into the reviews. For £124, not good, says Dr. J. Dr. Dre's brother, of course. For a chair that is appropriately priced, I would have given this 5 stars. I was expecting a chair that was made from solid wood and was comfortable. As a 6'1" guy, this is not great. Generally, wow. If you want to keep your back straight, then you should get the rocking version of this.
Oh, it will, God.
Here we go. He's upselling, isn't he? He's working for the company. Apparently, the rocking version will force you to sit straight.
Wow. But you see, this is this just shows you that I don't read reviews.
Yeah. Someone called The Engineer says broken less than four months, according to The Engineer. Well, if you call The Engineer, you can probably fix it, The Engineer. Poor quality, Mr. Roy Hart. Only had this 6 weeks and the wheels came off.
Wow.
The insert in the wooden leg worked loose and the chair became unusable.
I should read reviews. That's where I went wrong.
There's also quite a lot of questions on it. Do you want to answer some questions?
Go on then, yes.
I am 196 centimetres. Would this chair be suitable for me?
Oh, that's very tall, right? So I would say no.
Okay, it's a no from Tova. Thank you, Tova. hi, would it be suitable for a person of 5'0" with disc problems?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Don't know, okay, fine.
But I would say talk to your doctor.
Oh, good answer.
Right?
Good answer.
Thank you.
You could be a therapist. That kind of answering.
Oh my God.
The other thing you bought in October 2017 by Corey Silverberg is a kid's book called What Makes a Baby.
I remember that book.
Yes, tell us all.
Yes. So it's 2017. Mm-hmm. How old are the kids? So my eldest is 6.
Oh, yeah.
God, that's very young to start reading What Makes a Baby with her, isn't it?
6 years old. Okay, sit down, darling. Now, fucking, here we go.
Yes, exactly. So daddy puts the penis in. No.
But when they start asking, you have to answer.
Do you know what? I think what it was, she was 5, actually, when she, and they always ask you in the least expecting, like you don't expect it, right? She was just obviously on the toilet, because all these conversations always happen in the toilet.
Yes.
And then she just went. She just said, where do babies come from? Or how do you make a baby? And I was caught off guard and panicked. And I started saying rubbish and shit like, Mummy and Daddy have a special hug. You know, special hug. And then she was like, what special hug? So what, if we hug, we have a baby? No, it's a naked hug.
It's naked cuddles.
I mean, it just went really, really wrong.
This is the problem, isn't it? You've only got one, as with a lot of parenting, you've only got one chance to answer that question well, because whatever answer you give first time, that's the answer that's stuck in their tiny brains.
Don't say that to me.
Yeah, whatever you've done since then is pointless. This book was a waste of money.
God, I felt awful. I felt like, oh God, I really messed her up, didn't I? So then I panicked and went and talked to lots of people and asked them, like, what should I do? Is there a book? Like, what do I say? Yeah. And someone recommended this book, and it was a good book. I would recommend it, but it's definitely for young kids. You know, it's a good way to start the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for the olden days where you'd just get hit for asking that question.
Oh, God. But in the olden days, you know, back in the 80s, exactly. No one had those. Do you know what I remember, though, very clearly? I remember that at the age of 10, someone, a family friend, like whatever, had bought, it was my birthday, and they bought a book. They bought me a book, like Where Do Babies Come From? And the book had, like, every page was a different species, like an animal, whatever.
Oh.
And it developed, and then the end was humans, and it was like a man and a woman in bed under the covers, obviously. You couldn't see anything. It was like,
That is also famously how all married sex happens, under the covers.
Very true. And I sat there with my mom, went through the book, and I remember knowing everything by that point, pretending like everything was a surprise to me just for her sake.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. And then I thought to myself, right, I don't want that to happen with my kids, so I just need to tell them everything, like really, really super early on, so that they hear it from me. Sadly, what I ended up saying was, it's a special naked hug.
Toasty, toasty nurse.
There's two bumper episodes coming out. But that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's eight more, Roger. Eight of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. Two brand new episodes and a whole new series wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.
October 2018, you've gone for a 70-litre backpack, travelling, trekking, hiking, camping, climbing rucksack for men or women. It's a green rucksack. You bought a rucksack.
Wow. You see, this makes me sound really cool. Mm-hmm. Like I bought a really big rucksack. I did. I bought that because I did go trekking. I actually went to Nepal.
Oh, wow.
As you do.
Sure.
With my brother.
Okay.
To do the Everest Base Camp trek. And it was part of I did like a whole series on Facebook called Mom Life Crisis, and it was about my midlife crisis.
Oh, nice.
And I made a bucket list of all the things I wanted to do in that crisis. And that was the last item on my bucket, was to go back to Nepal, because I had been there. I was there in my 20s. And I thought I'd never go back. And it's a place that I really loved and I always wanted to go again, but thought I'm never going to get to go there again. And
Especially when you get kids and you just like these tiny little padlocks that seem to pretty much chain you up to wherever you are physically. It's very hard, especially once they've gone to school, to move around. So that's amazing. I love a midlife crisis that's female as well, because it's become a kind of masculine thing, but that never makes sense to me. Of course women should have a good solid midlife crisis as well. You deserve one.
Yeah, and actually you're right, because it is not talked about. And when I was going through it, I didn't really know what it was, because the symptoms were just not documented anywhere. You know, it was like I Googled midlife crisis, and I literally got like, I don't know, recipes for quinoa salad or tips how to keep your vagina lubricated, like really strange things that just did not feel like they represented what I was going through at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a bit of a secret. It's a bit of a mystery.
What were the seeds of the midlife crisis? And what tell us the things that you felt like, oh God, I'm going to die soon, basically.
No. So I was 42, I think, at the time. And I had just been through a very small health scare, which ended up being completely fine. But I found something on my kind of left breast, and I did the whole mammogram thing. And for a brief moment thought, oh my God, this might be cancer. Mm. And then you immediately have all these thoughts, you know, like, what if I die? What about my kids? Da, da. You just see the whole kind of, you know, it's very grim, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I thought, literally the
I'm
next
gonna
thing
climb
was,
a mountain.
Similar. I literally thought I need to bungee jump. Yeah. It was such a random thought. Like I didn't expect it. And what it was, I just thought, what am I waiting for? Like, why am I waiting? Like what am I waiting for anything? I just need to go.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything turned up fine, which was great. But I had that feeling like just stuck with me, you know. So I made them my list, and I did the bungee jumping, and I did loads of things.
Where did you bungee jump?
Windsor.
Oh yeah, by the Windsor Mountain. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
really lovely. It wasn't like a massive one, you know, it wasn't like a crazy, you know, 300 meter from a bridge sort of a thing, but it was enough, you know.
Suddenly imagined that Windsor Castle might have some sort of bungee jumping side hustle, just with the Queen standing at the top. Off you go. That'd be wicked. That'd be
3,
wicked.
2, 1.
Yeah, go. Good luck. You'll be back in a second. Bye bye now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever bungee jumped?
No, but I think I'm having a midlife crisis.
Are you? Wait, how old are you, Tom?
I'm 41. And I had, similar to you, I had a big, not big, but I had a health scare that was fine, but I had a very near close brush with skin cancer. And the year I turned 40, then lockdown happened. And I don't really know how it's going. I'm not sure what it is that I feel, but I definitely feel like this sense of I need to crack on a bit. But it's you know, it's interesting that it's become a male thing. And it's also belittled, and people make a joke about it, which is very funny, because it is funny. I'm going to buy a leather jacket and a Harley Davidson. Like, I get it. It's ludicrous. But you know, they're just these little moments start to happen. Like I was at a wrap party for something last week, and it was a crew of about 30 people, and it was pointed out to me by my business partner that I was the oldest person there by about 5 years. And you suddenly just start to look around and go, fuck, you know, it's weird, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And it kind of like, it's weird. Cause on the one hand, I love hanging out with people who are younger than me because I do feel like, it's great. You know, it keeps you young and you're like, do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Some of them, you know, maybe it, that doesn't depend. That's not even an age thing. They may have just chosen to not, you know, not have children, and their lives are very different. And you can do things with them that you can't do with friends that, you know, maybe are in exactly the same boat as you are. But then on the other hand, it also reminds you of how old you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, yeah. But what? Listen,
yes,
if you
I was
are going
say, what's
through.
The, what's the solution, do you think? Where, how did you come out of this midlife crisis apart from going to Nepal?
Well, I think all those things that I did were great. It was really a journey of, God, this sounds so awful, but like of rediscovery, because especially if you have kids and especially if they're young, those few years of like the first kind of really early years, I think a lot of people lose themselves. I can only talk from a perspective of me, female, a mom, but I think for a lot of dads, it's probably the same. When I called my brother, I didn't intend to say to him, hey, come to Nepal with me. He had just come back from Thailand with friends. Mm. And he went for a few days by himself with friends to Thailand. And he's 2 years younger. So he was 40. Mm. And he said to me, you know, Tova, I am shocked by how quick I just felt like a kid again. Like we were just 20 year olds on the beach. I, you know, it wasn't like I didn't have a house, a mortgage, a family to think of, a job. All those responsibilities were just like they, I had like such a great time. It was amazing to suddenly feel like me again. Mm. And that was amazing that he said it to me. Like he's a guy, right? And I had no idea he was going through something so similar. And then I said to him, I'm going through this. Let's go to Nepal. And the next day we booked our flights, you know?
Wow.
So my point is, Tom, if you would like a trekking, hiking, camping, climbing, mountain rucksack for yes. men or women in green,
yes. Okay, good.
I've got one and you can borrow
that's,
it.
That's the most beautiful thing anyone has ever offered me. The midlife crisis rucksack.
Exactly.
Let's make
pass it on.
That is a business yeah. model. Let's make
and
a
when you're done with it, pass it on.
Exactly. I'm going to write that down. Midlife crisis rucksack. And it's got like little legs that come out the back so you can lean back and sit down.
It's a great rucksack.
Midlife crisis rucksack. Yeah, that's in the business. Good. I love the fact that also you didn't manage to buy your kids Christmas presents a few years ago and suddenly you could buy yourself a flight to Nepal. Now I see how efficient you are when you're shopping for Tova. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. Ooh, my big boy on a
toaster. My big boy on a toaster. Shopping online, that I've been so far, my big boy. Okay, good. 2019, what have we got here? We have got the silicon cupping therapy set and cellulite massager, $6.99, bought on the 11th of July 2019. Any good?
I don't know what that is. Silicon cup therapy set.
Something to do with cellulite, anti-cellulite cup massage.
Oh, yes. This was for a video.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to think why I did that. And did I even ever do the video? I don't remember.
Fine.
Do you know what? I think the idea was to, because it's quite funny, because it's supposed to cup you, you know, and stay on you. And it's sort of like, I thought it would be something. Oh, do you know what it was? I think around that time I was doing, not product reviews, but I sort of did the one that's like stickers that are supposed to tape your boobs up.
Oh,
have you ever seen those?
Yeah. No, but I could do with some of those.
And I did a story once, again, bought them as a joke to sort of do something with them. And then obviously they didn't work because my boobs are far too big for a sticker to work on them. And then that, like, people really laughed at that and thought it was really funny. And they said, oh, there's loads of other products. And this was one of the other products. But I don't think I ever released a video about this because, to be honest, it didn't work. And I don't even know where they are. Yeah.
Should have said that at the end of the video. This doesn't work.
I don't know what. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. And then, Tova Lee, as we get towards the end of our time with you today, along comes lockdown, along comes the pandemic, 24th of March 2020, which is pretty much on the day, isn't it? I know it's late March when the awfulness descends. And it's quite interesting to see what you do in that situation, to see what, you know, what do we do? Well, how do we panic? And of course, we buy things like Calpol for our kids. Of course we do, because that's going to fight off a pandemic. It's fine. I've got everyone knows Calpol works on everything. God. So we've got the Calpol ready to go. It's ready to inject that into your kids' eyeballs. And then we've got, you bought a herb collection, oregano, coriander, sweet basil, mint, rosemary and thyme. Very nice. Also a dustless blackboard getting ready to homeschool.
Did I really buy that?
24th of March 2020, you bought a blackboard. So you've got Calpol, herbs and a blackboard. Here comes the pandemic, ready for lockdown.
I want to say that I bought the blackboard for my children, but I'm pretty sure it was probably for something else. I don't even recall that. And did we even receive it?
And also, in April 2020, a few weeks later, you bought some 12 pieces of jumbo-coloured pavement chalk. So you're buying chalk.
Oh, yes. Yes. The chalk was because I thought, oh, wouldn't it be really nice if the kid... Okay, because let's face it, we were so bored. Mm. So we thought, I just thought, we have decking outside, and I just thought, let's just get them chalk. They can just draw on the decking, on the fences. I don't care anymore. And yeah, that's what the chalk was for, but I don't remember the board. But the vitamins, on the other hand, you know, I was talking up not just Calpol, it was vitamin galore.
Oh, yes, like, I can really see this. Yeah, 14th of September. So you've bought the chalk so your kids can do some middle class graffiti, which is there was a real spate of it, wasn't there, when lockdown happened and the kids were going out. And also, rather sweetly, you've bought Harry Potter audiobooks. I remember this. I don't know if this was for you or your kids, but I remember the kids, they regressed at the beginning of lockdown. Their worlds were shut down, and for kids my age at the time, they were probably 4 and 8, 4 and 7. It was rather beautiful because they just became little babies again, and they had a few weeks, a couple of months, where it was all about things like listening to audiobooks and playing silly games in the garden. You know what I mean? And it just, the world became somehow simpler.
Yeah, but you know, we can only say that now. At the time we were pulling out our hair, like, I think first lockdown was okay because Mike and I just made a decision to just not bother, you know? It was like, we didn't even pretend to do homeschooling. We just didn't, you know? So that was really nice. And the weather was lovely. Luckily, I don't buy my gin on Amazon because that's what you would have seen. Yeah. It was just having lovely gins in the garden and doing chalk on the decking, you know?
Yeah.
But my brother, he said to me what you just said now. He was like, I don't think we're ever going to have this opportunity again, ever, like, to spend this much time with the kids.
Yeah.
And like, we have to, like, you know, it's like, you have, this is what we're doing. And actually, maybe there's something a little bit wonderful about that. And I was so glad he told me that quite early on. So we did enjoy the first lockdown in that sense.
Yes.
But obviously after that, it went downhill after that. When we actually had to homeschool, it was horrendous.
Absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific.
Horrendous.
As everyone knows. Everyone knows. Including my neighbours who know how bad it was. apologies again to them. 14th of September then, you've hit the vitamins hard. Trying to overdose maybe on vitamin K, vitamin D, just a cry for help. Although there was a rumour doing around, wasn't there, about vitamin D being good against
COVID. Wait, was that proven as not right? we're still having that.
It's over. I'm in the same vitamin D boat.
Okay, fine.
Doing exactly the same thing. Because you're sort of told, aren't you, well, there's no sunshine, so you don't get enough vitamin D.
I was also squeezing oranges and just giving everybody orange juice throughout that first lockdown.
Great. Yeah. Everyone's got rotten teeth now. Yeah, cool, cool, cool. All the sugar. All of the sugar.
I know.
Exactly the same. Here's interesting, as we get towards the end of 2020. 30th of December 2020, Tova Lee, you've got a waterproof motorcycle cover.
Wow.
An extra, extra large motorbike cover. Do you have a motorbike? Are you a
Hell's
Angel?
Part of my midlife crisis, I bought a motorcycle. No, can you imagine? I so wish that was the story. Oh, that would be so cool.
I'm so happy then. I was like, oh my, she bought a fucking, that's the most unimaginative midlife crisis. And then I changed my name and grew a moustache. Okay, sure.
No, this was a cover No, this is for my kids' bikes.
Right, fine, okay.
Yeah, so it can also double up as a cover for more than one bicycle and is actually being used even as we speak. And I'll tell you why. For a very long time, our kids' bicycles were just inside our house, like in the hallway.
Yes.
And every time you'd walk in and out, they'd just fall over. Yes. It was annoying. The walls got marked and all that. And then this went on for a very long time, Tom, like not just one day a week. No. Like over a year, I think. And you know how you suddenly have this moment that you go, why are they actually in the house?
I mean, I think that about my kids quite a lot, but yeah.
And then I sort of went online. I was like, oh God, we could actually have them outside and cover them. So that's
that
what
is
we did.
So I have so been there. We had a shed built. We had a shed built because we were doing the same thing. And also nothing more painful in the world. The go-to for people is the barefoot on Lego, but that is nothing compared to the spiky kids bike pedal striking naked shin.
Yes.
I have rolled around like a footballer when I do that. It is so painful. So painful.
It's not pleasant. Not pleasant.
No. No, it's absolutely horrific. So good. Okay, fine. So the bikes are outside. As we go into 2021, Toverlee, 35 orders placed in 2021. So you've been quite busy. You've got some... Well, this is a very recent thing that you've bought. In fact, this... You didn't get this. It was handed to a resident, some binoculars, some kids' binoculars. So if that resident hasn't given you those binoculars, they are looking at you now, just so you know.
No, I have them. And I bought those. You see, a lot of the stuff I bought recently on Amazon is actually for a trailer that I shot for my book, You Did What?
Oh, you've got a book out?
I do.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Yeah. It's a confessions book and it's called You Did What? And it's, it's out now. And we shot a trailer, and the whole idea of the book is that it's secrets and confessions from people. And it's the whole idea of, like, you don't know what people get up to behind closed doors. Mm. So the first shot of the trailer is me, staring through the binoculars into my neighbor's garden, basically.
I see.
And that's why I bought them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. 21st of February 2021. The Fever adult women's no nonsense nurse costume.
Which, by the way, was not the right size and I couldn't zip up at all.
That's the idea, though, isn't it?
But is it, though? I feel like it needs to be zipped up.
and then you've gone and bought another one. You bought two. So 19th of February, just after Valentine's Day, the nurse role play dressing up costume complete outfit. And then 2 days later, you've bought the larger sized one.
Because I accidentally obviously bought the wrong size. It was too small, so I had to get another one. And that was, we were shooting something else. Now, what was it? Probably something to do with vibrators. I can't remember what it was.
Hang on. You just laughed your way through the word vibrators.
Yes. Probably an ad for some brand that I was collaborating with. I'm guessing. Right. And we did a funny video. That needed a nurse's outfit.
So it's part of your job getting free vibrators. Is this what influencers do these days?
Tom, I will fill my I'll put in the rack set some vibrators. Yes, I do have quite a lot of them because brands do send them over. And usually I just use them as where to put my phone on because I don't have a proper tripod. There's piles of them on my desk right now. In
wow.
their boxes.
Wow. Yeah. What a place to leave you. You know, we started this show with you buying presents, sparse presents for your children,
for
your little babies, for your twin babies, and now you're just snowed under with dildos. And I feel that's a happy place for us to leave
you. But you're the one who wanted to hear about women's midlife crisis, and then you freaked out.
Yeah, but the male equivalent of a vibrator, not as accessible. I think there's something called we talked about this with Ollie Mann not long ago, actually. There's something called a torch, I think, which is basically a vibrator that men, have a go on.
And did he buy it on his Amazon? Is that how you discovered it?
I was quite shocked, actually. He was quite frank about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he
yeah.
bought it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Very good. Very good for him. Very good for him.
Exactly.
But he was very yawny and tired through the whole podcast recording. But anyway, listen, Toverly, I will leave you to your dildos. In all seriousness, thank you so much for joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster. I've learned so much about you. I feel like I know you now, which is always good.
I had a really nice time. This was lots of fun. I was really scared about this recording. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
I don't know. Because I didn't remember what I bought on Amazon like years and years ago. So, yeah. You know.
Now you know.
Now I know.
And your book is out now. Give us one more plug for that, please.
So the book is called You Did What, and it is secrets, confessions, and outrageous stories from real life. And you can find it everywhere. Amazon worldwide, Waterstones, everywhere.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Toverly, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Toverly on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you very much for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed, Tover. I certainly did. There you go. Another episode is complete. Couple of bits of business. My radio show, The Leak, is back on BBC Radio Wales and on BBC Sounds. So if you fancy it, head to BBC Sounds, look up The Leak with Tom Price, and I mean, it's just more me, isn't it? It's just an opportunity to listen to my blooming voice, but also fabulous comedians joining me every week to talk about the news. Head over to BBC Sounds, look up The Leak. And that's it for today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. All the usual rules apply. If you enjoyed the episode, head over to @ToasterPod, give us a follow, give us a review, have a subscribe, help yourself to a subscribe, they're free of charge. And if you haven't listened to all the episodes, head on over to your nearest podcast platform and you can find all sorts of My Mate Bought a Toaster episodes. There's all sorts over there. Oh, did I mention the Patreon?
Patreon.com/ToasterPod. GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question.
If
you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not right. Just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.